do 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 do. Welcome to Idea Factory Giveaway, a guest guided tour through the junk drawer of John Sung's brain. Welcome, John.
Hello, Besha. How are you?
I'm all right, John. How are you?
I am very good right now.
Hello, listeners. My dog is a goblin. Oh my god, she did that on cue. I hope that the mic picked it up.
Well,
if you can't hear it, it sounds like... There we go. That's my baby right there.
Beautiful.
What music she makes.
Indeed. Well, I was about to ask what's been going on in your life lately, but I feel like we've already gotten the answer to that.
I'm a goblin mom. It's pretty cool. We go to goblin play dates.
Yeah, I feel like it beats being an orc mom or a kobold mom.
Yeah, well, like the goblin, being a goblin mom is nice because you can just zip them in your jacket and carry them around, basically.
Oh.
Orcs get real big. You need to, like.
That's true.
You have to get them, like, one of those little trailers that you put on your bicycle and you bike around with your orc baby in the back.
Yeah.
But a goblin, I just zip her into my coat and we're good to go.
Perfection.
Like, almost all of this has, if listeners, if you can hear my dog in the background, she's just entertaining herself. She's literally running around with a new toy and just growling at it like a goblin.
Perfection.
Yeah, so that's being a goblin mom.
That's fair. What's new in my life lately? I discovered a thing, which is that there is this thing that they call the Oakland White Elephant Sale.
Mm-hmm.
That the, I guess, there's like a group... I think it ends up, the proceeds of it end up benefiting the Oakland Museum of California.
Mm-hmm.
But what it is basically just this enormous warehouse full of just stuff that people drop off and donate. And then, like, the sale goes in two phases. There's the preview sale, which happens at the end of January, and then there's the actual sale, which is in March. So the preview sale, which you have to buy tickets to, because that's when you get basically first dibs on the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, and we got several things, one of which was a cake stand. Like a glass cake stand for like $15. It was great. But also, I got this goblet made out of sort of like an iridescent blue glass.
I saw this on Instagram.
Yes, that's where I got it. It was $4. And I'm going to drink my wine out of just that from now on. And I did receive permission to go back and get 5 more. But the problem is that we're actually going to be out of town on the day the for real sale opens up. So we're going to get some friends of ours, I think, to maybe go and
scoop the iridescent goblets.
Yes, which I guess is called carnival glass. A friend of mine informed me of this, and I'm going to take his word for it. But yeah, so that's a thing that I think is hopefully going to happen.
It looked to me kind of like Murano glass, Venetian glass, carnival, yeah.
It's great.
Blood wine.
It's great, and it's going to be the only vessel out of which I drink my wine from here on out. So that's me and mine.
If you've got 6, you could earmark each one for a different kind of beverage and only ever drink out of one of those glasses.
Well, because we have 5 regular wine glasses.
Yeah.
And but like we're going to replace them with more of these. Like that's all. Those are the only wine glasses we're going to have in our house. And I think I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Another component of the noble house you are founding.
Yes, exactly. Eventually, Mavis and I will settle on a house motto.
Uh-huh.
And then we're going to need a designer or illustrator to come up with a crest or a sigil of some sort. So,
also purchase some family atomics.
I mean...
Oh, stop it, Goblin.
Speaking of illustrators, I think it may be time to introduce our guest.
What up?
Hello, guest.
Kelly, back for her second episode.
Round 2.
So,
you can't see it, but I'm punching the air.
She is.
if you were going to, like, I mean, how much would you charge to design? I mean, not necessarily, I don't mean like a literal crest in the form of, like, you know, like a shield with the animals and crap on it. I mean, just like, if, you know, House Sung Groover were to have a... like a symbol of some sort.
Yeah. Well,
I have no idea what it would look like.
I'll knock a little bit off if you let me draw unicorns.
Hmm.
Sweet. But yeah, usually an hourly. I used to take payment in firstborns, but the market just isn't what it used to be.
That's fair. That's fair. Those take a long time to gestate as
they
well.
They do. It's, so. You know, you don't get as much like a return on the investment,
that's true.
I find, with babies.
Why didn't witches ever ask for them when they were like teenagers? When they were like, you know.
Oh yeah, why wouldn't a witch ask for a teenager?
I mean, okay, maybe.
Maybe like the overhead, like they're just like, it's harder to like keep a teenager in one place.
That's true.
You have to feed them a lot more by and large. They require more in the clothing department. If you think about like the medieval Europe, could just like put some rags on that baby. It's fine. Those are baby clothes.
You know what, that's
covered in their straw. Just
that
like
was
the floor.
There, the baby gap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some straw and some old clothes, like you're good.
You're right. I overthought that.
The John Sun story.
If you are a first-time listener to this podcast, welcome. What's been going on is that I have been writing down every stray idea that I've had for literally the last decade or so, as soon as they pop into my head. And as you can imagine, I've built up hundreds of them, and I've never done anything with them. So it's time to give them to the world by showing them to my friends. And then they get to ask what the hell I was thinking. If you hear an idea that you would like to do, go ahead and do it. I would just like credit.
I'll take a cut.
Outstanding. Kelly, do you have an idea in the vast vault that you would like to discuss first?
Oh boy. Well, John.
Oh no.
Do you have some ideas prioritized, Kelly?
I do have a complex number system. It's a very simple number system, but yes. There's, and I think I've landed on, this is in the category of art, which fits nicely with the things that I typically enjoy.
Indeed.
John, please tell me about the Ghostbusters sequel where the moon is colonized by ghosts and they have to travel and they have to throw down.
That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. I feel like there should be a movie.
Who died up on the moon that there's that many ghosts?
Listen.
Was there a colony?
No, here's the thing, which is that, you'd have to figure out look. So there was an episode of the Ghostbusters, the real Ghostbusters cartoon that, like canonically establishes the existence of alien ghosts. It was actually kind of a Star Trek parody in the sense that like there was like a crew and they were all like vaguely Star Trek analogs. But yes. So I kind of figured it was something like that, where like there are ghosts on the moon. Like the next time, you know, like the astronauts get sent to the moon and they encounter ghosts and they can't fight them because they're ghosts, so they have to call the Ghostbusters. And I mean, granted, there is no cartoon version of the new Ghostbusters, but that is no barrier.
Easily,
I mean,
like, remedy.
Yeah.
I think that, in fact, I would love
I would
to see that.
I would put Kate McKinnon on the moon to fight ghosts.
Oh my god.
Exactly.
In a heartbeat.
Exactly. So, yeah, that
and
was basically.
And we could even make
where
it like a crossover with Iron Skies.
Which I never saw. Was it good?
I enjoyed it.
Excellent.
It, like, you could tell it was an indie film, but like, it was it was real fun.
You know what? Why not?
Yeah, all of those dead Nazis. Send the girls to the moon.
Oh.
Fight the dead Nazi ghosts.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know what? I mean, that would actually be a nice parallel for like the times that we are currently in.
Yeah. Isn't there also a Charlie Strauss where they the Nazis have like a base on some uncanny Eldritch moon?
You are thinking of the Atrocity Archives, the first of the Wandering novels.
Is it the first one?
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like he's done a couple of.
Oh, there's like six of those things.
Right. Well, I've read most of the laundry files.
This
but
is why I love you.
I feel like he has a parallel story that is not part of it, that is also involves Eldritch Nazis on a moon.
I think he wrote that before he wrote the Atrocity Archives.
Okay.
But yes.
I think
yes.
This also works with what I would like to do if I were a ghost, which is absolutely walk my way all the way to Florida, take an afterlife road trip, get launched into space, and then just stay there until I feel like coming back.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think if you're a ghost, you have to hold on to like a space shuttle to get out into space, or you think you could just be like,
I'm concerned about breaking Earth's gravity.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, gravity has no hold on ghosts. Here's the problem.
Yeah,
is
how far can you fly if you're a ghost?
How fast can you go? Are ghosts limited to light speed?
I also thought it would be cool to, like, go explore the ocean as a ghost, but then I remembered that I'm really afraid of the ocean.
Yeah, fuck
and
that.
What if sharks have ghosts?
I'm sure they do.
Oh, wow.
No thank you to that.
Oh, wow. Oh, you could, but you could encounter the ghosts of life forms long extinct. Listen.
Oh, no! That's terrible! They're even bigger!
The entire
I know somewhere. I feel like it was in a Cage Baker novel about, like, a ghost. Like, somebody is in a... they're seeing all the history of the place they're standing flash before them. And that includes, like, a ghost shark. And maybe I'm making that up.
No, that sounds good. Here, okay. Actually, you know what? This brings up a side question, which is that we're going to have to... We should probably... Randall Monroe would probably know the answer to this question. Or he'd know how to begin calculating it, which is that if all life on Earth were to die in the next 5 minutes, how much oil would we create?
Oh.
I have no idea how to even begin calculating that. So that was just that's just a side question that's been bugging me for some time.
Absolutely nothing, guess not much. partly because, like, the oil that we're using now comes from millions and millions and millions of years life forms dying.
And that also had to be, like, compressed in a very specific way, correct?
Yeah.
It was because of the way that they died. So we would all have to die in the next 5 minutes of
and be covered with
a large impact. Yeah, be covered in sediment and crushed slowly.
Yes.
And then when the cephalopods take over the world several billion years from now, they won't need fossil fuels because they will have figured out how to coexist with renewable energy because cephalopods are fucking smart.
But, like, we would form sort of a thin... Anyway, yeah. I have so many questions. So, listen, if you're, I don't know, a geologist or, like, a... somebody who would know the answer, or at least how to begin calculating that answer, please get in touch. We'll tell you how to get in touch at the end of the episode.
All right, well. John, tell me about your business that you'd like to start called Conspiracy Theory Tours.
Ooh. It's not a business I'd like to start. It's just a business that I think I would like to see out there. It's all in the name, I think, right?
Yeah.
Like, you pick a conspiracy theory, and then you just sort of, like, find what are the sites around the planet that are important to that theory. Then you offer a tour package.
You could do, like, walking tours of the Denver airport with the weird mural and maybe a bunker underneath?
Oh, I don't know anything
I've
about
heard,
that.
It has something to do with the horse, right? With the red eyes.
Yeah, there's that horse with, like, the large schlong and red eyes. But then there's also, like, a mural there that some people have drawn a connection to the New World Order.
Oh.
And there's maybe a bunker underneath.
I love it. Oh, I love it. Dun, dun. Yeah. Yeah, this would be like that. Like, you put it together and it's... Yeah, it's a tour. Pardon me.
Walk through that's replica of the JonBenet Ramsey house.
Oh, murder, true crime shit.
Well,
is a whole different.
Sorry.
That's a whole.
Oh, you're right. But I was also thinking of the conspiracy theory.
Oh no, but no, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, no, they're
what? Oh. I've heard of an internet that you not have not. This is a new.
Wow.
I have done a new thing. There is somebody who is either a fantastic troll or who truly believes that JonBenet Ramsey is the same person as Katy Perry and that her death was an elaborate hoax so that Katy Perry could have a career.
I cannot even begin to parse that.
I've been silent for, like, 30 full seconds as I'm staring into space and envisioning how this person's brain works.
It's amazing. They're like,
damn.
If you look at the eyebrows is the one thing you can't change. And it's like, I changed mine, on purpose.
What the fuck?
Yeah. That's madness. That is sheer madness. I think Conspiracy Theory Tours was also sort of, like, about, you know, like, I am sure that the reptoid conspiracy theorists probably think that there are several gates into the center of the Earth, right?
Oh,
like,
yes.
You could do, like, a tour package where you get
to
visit each one of those sites.
Can you go to that pizza place?
No.
What?
The Pizza Gate place?
You know,
Hillary
Pizza Gate's
running a sex
not Pizza
ring.
Gate to the Middle Earth.
Just
Pizza Gate.
Just Pizza Gate. But you, like, go and you, like, talk about it, and then you all eat some pizza and say, hey, man, this is good pizza. Thanks.
Hey, I'd be down for that.
Yeah, just don't bring your fucking machine gun.
That's rules for most places.
I mean, that's true, yes. That's
good
I
feel pizza. Like, don't bring your fucking machine gun.
Please don't bring a machine gun.
I think you're right. But yes, conspiracy theory tours.
I would patronize that. I would absolutely go on a conspiracy. That would be like my birthday.
Oh my god. Actually,
you could
you
get like
what?
A tour bus.
Conspiracy theory tours would also, like, you would sell tickets to the people who want to visit those particular sites, right? Mm-hmm. But you would also sell tickets to people who just want to go to observe those people.
Oh, that's a good one. And then it becomes a conspiracy because what if you observed them using, like, remote cameras and spyware? And it becomes a conspiracy all in itself. It's like this Big Brother element on top of the conspiracy tour. And what if they start solving it in the middle of it? That would be so satisfying for those people. Oh my god.
There we go.
It's like an escape the room, but it's an escape the tour while you're actually in the middle of a tour.
Wheels within wheels, people.
Oh my god. Somebody please make this. This is fantastic. I'll be your first customer.
Outstanding.
Not to relate this to another story that I may have read, but there was I think it was in People of Color Destroy Horror, a story about a fake TV medium who goes to a cellar and is like, ooh, I feel cold and there is a darkness here, and then actually gets possessed or actually sees the ghost and like has real interactions with him, and it's fucking terrifying because he was a murderer and is like, I'm coming for you next, and she's like, ah! I just wanted to make my TV show and make a lot of money.
Is that a good anthology? I bet it is. Nice.
Yeah, I've been in really, like, all of the Destroys anthologies are fantastic.
Outstanding. Yeah. Alrighty. Well, what's next?
Okay. Pitch me your Disney office comedy. Is it the people who work in Disney, like the Imagineers having an awkward The Office type situation? Or is it the Disney characters like Mickey and Dopey all trying to work in an office, The Office type situation?
Why not both? One of them could be animated and one would be live action. And that, you know, I mean, they would serve different audiences, right? I mean, like or maybe they would both be the same audiences, really. But just, yeah,
Just pick one and pitch it to me.
They're both equally good is the problem. Like,
who do you think would be the office manager?
Here's the problem is that I don't know enough about Disney's, like, entire
oeuvre. Okay, I'll help you out.
Yes.
I know a lot of the Disney. So I feel like Mickey Mouse would be, like, the really likable CEO that doesn't do much, but he's really charismatic.
Okay.
And he comes in and everyone's like, oh, Mickey! And he's just like the Richard Branson of universe.
I like it.
But then there's like some poor schlub like Goofy or Donald who like has to pull like most of the real work and is far less liked.
Oh, it's Donald.
Because Donald's totally the one. Oh, and Donald gets in trouble with HR like all the time.
For not wearing pants?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and in the older cartoons too, he kind of swore a lot. Or at least made incoherent death noises that sounded an awful lot
that's
like
true,
swearing.
Yes.
Yeah, he had quite the temper, that Donald.
Let's go with that.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. And I feel like Doc is probably the HR guy from the Seven Dwarves.
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah, here's the problem is that you need to figure out a way to slot in Stitch from Lilo and Stitch.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's my favorite Disney movie?
Receptionist.
Oh, perfect. All right.
Maybe that's what I should have named my dog.
Stitch.
Yo, fucker. Stop it with the destroying the couch.
You know?
I usually call her Tiny Prancer, but Fucker
tiny
works
Prancer's
too.
Good.
I'm sort of envisioning Jafar as the incompetent, scheming middle management.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Yes.
We open on a scene of Gaston getting fired for sexual harassment.
Nobody
fires Gaston.
He gets fired like Gaston.
Yeah.
Where?
Goofy's like, oh, I'm sorry, but you whipped it out in the middle of the office party.
Here's a question though, which is where, like, is it possible to fit all of the princesses into this office comedy, or did they work in an entirely different building?
Oh, maybe they're like another branch, and they're actually like just crushing it. Like, they're so much more successful than the Mickey and Donald branch because obvious reasons.
Yeah.
And the guys have, like, a whole episode where they're talking about, like, how much they hate this other branch because they're just continuously crushing the competition, but also trying to not sound sexist while they're doing it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Jasmine's like...
Yeah.
Coffee is for closers! And Snow White's like, I'm gonna do better.
She just throws herself on the ground and starts crying, and a bunch of birds land next to her.
But then she gets up and gets her shit done.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. If anybody from Disney is listening, it's time. Please move forward with this.
Tiana from Princess and the Frog is the boss, and she is ruthlessly efficient because she's running a restaurant. She's got this shit down.
I got mad at that movie a little bit, just because it's a lovely movie, but her only character flaw was that she wanted to work hard to achieve her dreams. And then at the end, she was like, I guess I'll marry this guy because he said he's going to get a job. Like, are you kidding me? No. Leave him. He's dead weight. Go pursue your dreams. You're 19. You have your whole life in front of you.
I love it.
Yeah.
What's next?
One word. Website idea. Why are there still monkeys.com?
Ah, okay, yes. This is a website that should exist, but the problem is that I'm not sure what form the explanation takes, but what it is an explanation of evolution for dumb people. Because this is a question that you get a lot, right?
Yes.
If evolution is real, how come there's still monkeys?
I remember getting those old, what was it, Jack Chick?
Yes.
His propaganda comics.
Yeah.
I got a hold of a few of those when I was, like, in church when I was a child. And I remember that question.
So, how do you deliver the explanation in a way that, like, is palatable? Or not even palatable,
that's a really tough one.
They type in the URL, and is it just, like, a full-screen YouTube video that just, like, you know, it takes a minute to be like, here's why. Mm-hmm. Or is it a comic strip that they just read, or
maybe it's like an interactive flow chart so that they actually have to become engaged with it and think like logistically about the questions?
Honestly, this is a matter for A/B testing.
Yeah. And you know what? We've pitched it now to the internet.
That's true.
So somebody, it's not our problem anymore. This.
Somebody find us a pool of creationists.
I mean, I can get you creationists. Yeah. But it'll cost you.
I can get you a creationist in 45 minutes. I'll just post on my Facebook wall. Yeah.
Story idea. All caps. Landlord cat.
It's a short, it's a YouTube short where it's just somebody similar to that Will Ferrell one from like a while ago where like it's a dude trying to negotiate with his landlord who's a 6-year-old girl.
Yeah. Not even that, she's like 2. Yeah. Why do you need the money daughter so fast? I need to get my dwink on.
So yeah, it's like that, except that the guy's landlord is a cat. And like I think here's the problem is that I had the idea, but since I'm not a cat person, I don't like have really strong insight into like all the ways that a cat would be really hilarious as a landlord. So I would need to, you know, like I just need to find a cat person to help me write this thing.
Yeah, maybe like the cat's just lets themselves into the apartment to lay in the sunspots because this apartment has the good sunspots.
Yeah, I mean, right, like maybe the subject of the video, you know, like the guy whose apartment it is just really tired of his landlord barging in, but he can't say anything because the cat is his landlord.
Right.
And so,
right.
But anyway.
And it comes furnished, but it's decorated just very weird. There's feathers everywhere, and maybe like corrugated cardboard floors, so everything is a scratching surface.
You can't move, you know, yeah. Yeah. So, anyway.
Sometimes the landlord just comes to the door And he goes, wow! And you let him in, and you're like, I think you're required to give me 24 hours notice. And the landlord's like, wow! And then he walks back outside, and you close the door, and outside you hear this, wow!
Oh, that's See, perfect.
That's what I'm saying. I need somebody who has first-hand experience of cats.
Or like you're bringing home a date, and then like there's half a mouse like on the on the porch. My landlord really likes me. She leaves me presents all the time.
Yes.
Okay. Moving on in the category of art.
Yes.
Musical fan fiction.
Sold.
Yeah, I'm sold on this alone. How fast can we get Maya Mortal to rock opera to Broadway?
Yeah, okay, so either it is musicals made out of existing fan fiction, or you just write fanfic.
What if you write musicals about being a fan of fan fiction?
¿Por qué no los dos?
I mean, yes, exactly. Why not?
It's very Tina Belcher, but I'm down for it.
I mean, you could do... Yeah, I think I was picturing it as sort of like, you know, fan fiction that somebody would just write. But instead of just being a story on AO3, it's like, it's a full-on musical with like a score, and there's like parts, and, you know, yes. But,
You're like Naruto and Sasuke. I can't. It's been too long.
Yeah, I mean, are they staring
into each other's eyes?
Are there fandoms that are particularly suited to having musical fanfic written for them? Aside from musicals themselves, right?
Yeah, like, I was going to say, like, besides Steven Universe, because it pretty much already is its own, like, musical fanfiction.
Yes. Well...
I mean, I think I'm kind of Adventure Time too, because they already have like a lot of songs built into their story structure. But I would accept that.
Yeah.
I would watch the bubbling rock opera all day long.
What is the likelihood that somebody out there has written Les Mis fanfic or like?
Oh, very high.
I'll bet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, especially since the movie came out. I suppose that's
one
true.
Time I got or like curious fanfic and for like bored the Fantastics. And googled Hell's Kitchen fanfic. And it fucking exists.
That I'll believe.
Rule 34B.
Would you believe that there was a Hannah Montana crossover?
If it exists, there is fanfic of it.
Yeah.
No, I like it. We have now reached that part of the podcast where it is time to give either a terrible recommendation or our guest can showcase an idea that they've had that they would like to give to the world. Do we have anything?
I'll do both. It's a terrible idea. Cigarettes for pets. When your cat's lungs aren't clean enough. Have her smoke one down.
There was a point in the first week or so of owning this dog where I was pretty sure that I was just going to have to give her cigarette butts as treats. Like, I literally went, she finally... pooped outside after hours of refusing to, and I didn't have a treat in my hand, and I literally picked up a cigarette butt and stuck it in her mouth because I knew how to be with her. And immediately took it away.
So you've already hit your don't give a fuck parenting moment.
Oh yeah, totally.
How many weeks in are you?
Like not very many.
My terrible recommendation is to go out and get yourself some McDonald's for dinner, but then get yourself a nice thick slice of delicious chocolate cake and have that for dessert, because for some reason those things are incredibly satisfying. But this is a terrible recommendation because you will have eaten McDonald's, but it will be incredible. Just heads up.
You gotta pay.
Just heads up.
I have two terrible recommendations.
Incredible.
Ooh, two.
One is to get a dog because you won't be able to stop fucking talking about it, and I apologize. The other is to do your entire podcast. In a goblin voice. And with that being said...
You can find me online on Twitter and Instagram as Ferocious J, the word ferocious, the letter J.
You can find me on Twitter as Besha, B-E-S-H-A.
And I am Miss_Martin007 on Twitter.
Excellent. If you have heard an idea that you would like to do, please go ahead and do it. I would just like credit.
And a cut.
And if you like this podcast, why not just tell a friend about it? Or several friends. Just kind of, just download it for your friends and leave it places on their computers. Or their phone. No, actually, don't do any of that. Don't do that.
No, don't do
that. I think that I just said.
Maybe a little USB stick.
Yeah. That sounds like a great idea. Yeah.
No. Load it on a motion-detected loudspeaker that break into their house.
Replace your car alarm.
Yes.
With it.
Yeah, somebody tries to break into your car and you just hear... do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-